Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, New Delhi mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yindinji Country as BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NIRS, National Israeli Service. Yarn up strong, new mob, too deadly. All right, now the Western Cape Turtle Threat Abatement Alliance, this WCTAA, represents an agreement between land and sea managers from Pomperau, Napranum, Mapoon and Northern Peninsula area to work together for the protection of marine turtles along the west coast of Cape York. Look, with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Manuela Fisher. She's Western Cape York Turtle Threat Abatement Alliance and coordinator and organizer of the ranger training for the WCTAA in Danger Rangers. And on the line, Manuela, good morning. How are you?
I'm very good. Good morning.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. So we are talking about protecting Cape York turtles and, look, working with our ranger groups. And also welding works is coming into the frame of things, making cages. So how long have you been working in this space?
I have been with Cape York NRM since June last year.
Nine, 10 months. Yeah. Okay, lovely. You enjoying it?
Yeah, it's very great. It's a combination of being based in Cairns but going on country during the turtle nesting season and spend a lot of time with the rangers up in the Cape York region.
Fantastic. And where do you come from, Manuela?
Originally, I'm born in Germany and I've been living in Australia for 10 years.
10 years. Well, guten Morgen. Guten Morgen. Thank you for coming to the program. Look, it's a fantastic program. Land and Sea Rangers from Pomperau, Kawanyama in the Cape who are learning, well, welding schools, aren't they, for the next level, learning how to build aluminium cages to protect the turtles. And who are we protecting the turtles from?
So the turtle nests along the Western Cape York region are mainly predated by feral pigs, dingoes and iguanas.
Mm.
And so the rangers are putting these aluminium cages over the nests to protect the animals from digging up the nest and raiding the nest and taking the eggs out.
Okay.
So now we have provided this training for the rangers to build their own cages because previously we have sourced these cages from supplies and it was really time-consuming and costly to ship these cages up to the Cape.
So hence the welding works and they're getting their skills in welding well, it's safer, they're picking up skills and they're protecting the turtles. I think it's a fantastic concept.
Yeah, it is. It is definitely. And upskilling the rangers and getting them up to speed with their welding training. And so now everything is done on country.
Good, done on country. I love that.
Yeah.
And rangers, are we talking male and females, Manuela?
It is a mix, yeah. So Vector, the Western Cape Turtle Threat Abatement Alliance, is a partnership of six Indigenous ranger groups, from all the way from Bamaga down to Kawanyama.
Okay.
And different ranger groups have, you know, female and male rangers on board. So,
good,
yeah.
Fantastic. Manuela, what's your background, please?
I'm an ecologist, wildlife ecologist. So I have done my studies in Germany and Australia in environmental science, and I have a PhD in environmental science from University of Melbourne. So,
yes.
Yeah. And I've been working in the space of threatened species all my career and with Indigenous rangers.
Beautiful. And working with the rangers, you then in some ways become a student as well, don't you? Learning about our mob, about our country, and about how we operate. Yeah.
Yeah, they teach me a lot on country. It's beautiful to be out there with them and learning about things that I don't know yet about. And yeah, it's just amazing. Sometimes there's elders with us as well, and they obviously have an incredible knowledge that they love to pass on.
Yeah, Good, fantastic. Well, you're in a very fantastic spot, and in work-wise, but also community-wise. So thank you very much for sharing. A big shout-out to all your Indigenous rangers there, up there at Cape York, and looking after our turtles and the fact that we've got welding at the table now and they're learning those skills. So, look, it's a fantastic program. And thank you for sharing, Manuela.
No worries at all. Thank you so much.
You take care. All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A beautiful yarn there. Manuela Fisher, her name is, Western Cape York Turtle Threat Abatement Alliance, WCTTAA, and they represent a dream between land and sea managers from everywhere in the Cape York area and working together for the protection of marine turtles along the western coast off Cape York. Look, fantastic, beautiful yarn there. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM, and go across the nation thanks to NERS, Nationalist Radio Service. Too deadly.
He looks asleep by Billabong, but he's aware through and through. He is the law of God for all.
Tomorrow, stand them in good stead, so they will follow.
Sing strong.
On your mom, it's me, Bush Taka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Thank you.
take away your suburban background. We won't be steering any shit down on your farm. My life is different to yours. What are you worried for? You got the money, you got the love. You got it all, but you're still on farm.
Yes, very good morning, New Delhi Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. As BB and Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have your say, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Now, nominations for the 2024 Australian Mental Health Prize open on April 22nd and will remain so until July 8, 2024. The winners will be announced on the 23rd of September, 2024. To nominate, answer three questions about the nominee's mental health contributions and impact on the online form at all the W's. Australian Mental Health Prize, one word, .org.au. Look, with that, there's categories include Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander, lived experience, professional, and community hero. And speaking of community hero, I'm going to have a chat now to last year's winner of this fantastic prize, Professor Murray Toombs on the line. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
Yama. Yeah, yama. And welcome. Say a big hello here from the beautiful Bidjigal land. So I'm sitting looking out over Coogee Beach.
Oh, lovely.
And I can see the sun is just shining beautifully across the horizon. Beautiful day here.
Beautiful. Professor Marie, thank you very much. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob. Where are you from, sister?
Yeah, so I am a Kuma Yeralii woman. So on my nana's side, we're Kuma from Cunnamulla Bolanway. Mm. But my family there, they were forcibly removed and put on to Cherbourg Mission.
Yeah.
And they made a big name around Brisbane, big activists like my cousin Coco Wharton, who leads
yes.
a lot of the big protests down there.
He does.
And then on the other side, I'm Yeralii, and we're from a place called Angledool, and down to Gadooga, where my mob are from there.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thank you very much for a beautiful footprint. And listen, congratulations on your win last year, 2023, professional category in the Australian Mental Health Prize. How did you?
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was a real honour. I was shocked, actually. So,
how were you nominated, sister?
So I was nominated by, she's actually become my boss. So,
yes.
But not at the time.
Your boss.
A beautiful ally, Professor Rebecca Ivis, who does a lot of work around injury and works with mob out there around Walgett and all over New South
Good.
Wales.
So, fantastic.
Yeah, she put me forward.
Well, she must love the work that you do. And I like to think a lot of our mob, we work with passion, with good spirit. But to be recognised and acknowledged and win prize like this, well, it's a cherry on the top, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, and it's a cherry on top for the mob that I work with.
Yes.
Of research is around suicide intervention prevention, mm. And I do work with traditional healers. So everything about healing spirit and acknowledging the impacts that invasion, you know, colonization, whatever you want to call it, has had on mob. And
yes.
So, yeah, I draw on our 65,000 years worth of DNA to this country and that, you know, strong identity that sits in a lot of us. But there's a lot of fragility that sits around that because we've been told, you know, it's not cool to be Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander. It's not cool to be, you know, to have, like, brown skin in this country. So, yeah, so the work I do sits around that, and it's a privilege to actually work in the space.
Professor, in what field are you a professor of?
Okay, so Professor Indigenous Health.
Okay.
I've got a really, like, wide range of areas that I work in, but my own research and where I won this National Australian Health Prize came from the work that I did with over 94 communities across Australia to co-design a suicide intervention training program.
Okay, fantastic. And you're based where now for your
I'm based in Sydney, okay. But I was up there in Brisbane and up on the Darling Downs for, 30 years. I've just moved down this way, actually. So a bit of a fish out of water, but starting to find my way.
But still a Queenslander, yes.
Oh, yeah, always. Always.
So listen,
so born up there.
Yes, beautiful, fantastic. So I'm just promoting the fact that the nomination for 2024 Australian Mental Health Prize is now open. Look, highly recommend people to endorse somebody to, you know, to put them forward, or people can put themselves forward. Is that the case?
Absolutely. And, you know, think about people in the community that are heroes, that are doing this amazing work and, you know, often not noticed for the work that they do. That's what this prize is about.
Okay. Yeah.
And everybody that won that prize last year, so there were four categories, were community-based. So, yes, they might have, some of them had some fancy titles, some didn't. It didn't matter.
It didn't matter.
The common theme was, you know, just being passionate about what you do and making a difference. And we know out there in our in our space and across our countries here in Australia, there's so many people day in, day out.
Exactly.
Yep, absolutely.
Unsung heroes. So don't care if you've got a title or not. I don't care what work you're doing. But if there's someone out there who's passionate about what they're doing and they are kicking goals and they've got a smile on their dial, we'll nominate them, is what you're saying, Professor Toombs.
Absolutely, yep. Or if you want to nominate yourself too, and I know that's not our way.
No.
But that is the other thing that you can do. But I'm sure, you know, there will be lots of people that want to put people they know forward for this. And it's a wonderful opportunity. And what's great about it too is it promotes the program or what it is that people are doing.
Exactly.
And it highlights
that profile. It. Puts it out there, yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Well, fantastic. Thank you for the yarn, my sister, and congratulations again, 2023 winner of the professional category in the Australian Mental Health Prize for 2023. But we're saying that the nomination's over for 2024, and you leading from the front, we say do it. Throw the iron in the fire, yes?
Absolutely. Yeah, no shame. Just get amongst
it, hey. Tidali, my sister. Yeah. Well, you stay warm, and all the best, and we'll yarn soon.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much for having me.
Take care, sister. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
A deadly yarn, beautiful yarn. Professor Marie Toombs, 2023 winner of the professional category in the Australian Mental Health Prize in 2023. And we're promoting that the nominations are open for 2024. And it started April 22nd and going right through to July 8th. 2024, and the winners will be announced on 23rd of September this year, 2024. So nominate yourself, or if you know anybody who you think is deadly working in this space, nominate them. That's what it's all about. And you can check it out on the Australian Mental Health Prize. Google that, and all the information's there. Otherwise, stay tuned to your daily program, National Talk Work with Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bumbleybrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israel Radio Service. Big shout out, NERS, too deadly.
Foam floating down the river. We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
Yes, very good morning, New Delhi Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the country thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saver call us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, ASIC's Centrepay ban against the First Nations people set for a landmark racial discrimination legal challenge. Urban Rampage, a key retailer for First Nation people in remote communities, is poised to launch a landmark legal challenge against the Australian Securities and Investment Commission for what it says is a racist and paternalistic decision to permanently ban the business from offering Centrepay to more than 20,000 Indigenous customers. Look, with that, we're going to catch up with Yarn now, Rajiv Maraja, Urban Rampage Media Advisor and Community and Government Relations online. Rajiv, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm fine. How are you? And thank you for having me on.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. I'm fine. Thank you very much. Where are you based, Rajiv?
I'm based in Melbourne, Trevor, but look, I'm an old Darwin lad.
Darwin lad.
I've worked up in the Northern Territory for many years.
Okay, fantastic. So please enlighten us. We're talking about Urban Rampage, a key retailer for First Nation people in remote communities, is poised to launch a landmark legal challenge against the Australian Securities Investment Commission. Can you talk to us about CentrePay, this process for our First Nation mob living in communities, and Urban Rampage, what's their process? And tell us about ASIC's ban against the First Nation company organisation, please.
Yeah, sure, Trevor. So, look, basically, Trevor, I'd probably describe Urban Rampage as, you know, almost like the Coles of the Outback. So they've got 10 stores in Northern Territory, WA and Queensland. Mm-hmm. Now, these stores, many of them are in remote communities where, you know, there are a large number of First Nations people live. They've been trading in these places for 20-odd years, long before CentrePay was introduced. So in 2016, they introduced CentrePay, which is a government scheme where, you know, you can essentially obtain goods and pay later. And the way it's done is, you know, you might go in for your big shop, you might travel in, you know, a couple of hundred kilometres, whatever it is, to Urban Rampage stores and, you know, buy blankets, buy clothes, uniforms, school uniforms, clothes for funerals, etc. And, you know, these items would maybe cost more than a couple of hundred dollars. So you'd book it up, you'd take the items, go away, and then your deductions would come in from your benefits.
It's a form of helping them budget, is what I'm picking up?
It's a form of credit. It's a form of buy now, pay later. And you have to understand that a lot of First Nations people in these communities wouldn't have access to, you know, buy now, pay later schemes that, you know, those in the cities have.
Yeah, sure.
They're certainly not walking around a, you know, Amex or American Express cards.
No.
So, look, it's a levelling of the playing field. It gives them access to credit. It gives them access to, you know, acquire goods, interest-free, I might add, and no fees.
Mm.
And, you know, there's a maximum amount which is deducted from their benefit, which is $200. And at any time, they can ring up CentrePay and say, look, I'm having difficulty this week. Can you, you know, stop this payment? The payment is stopped. You keep the goods. There's no obligation to return it. There's no recourse from, you know, you don't get any calls from the store saying, you know, where the goods, they're yours. You pay it off when you can.
So Urban Rampage is not doing anything wrong, are they?
Well, in fact, Trevor, they made the CentrePay ban permanent last week, which we're appealing, and they released a 39-page decision. They didn't publish it, so we went ahead and released it to the media ourselves.
Yes.
But the reason being is, look, if you read the decision, there's actually, we haven't done anything wrong. And ASIC actually says in that decision they haven't had one complaint to act on.
Yes.
And not only that, they found no wrongdoing in terms of pricing or any of those things. And, you know, and they found no evidence.
And yet they put a ban on it.
Yet they put a ban. So, look, Trevor, you know, I come from an Indigenous background, and so sometimes you look at these sorts of things and you wonder what's going on.
Well, if not this, then what? What's Plan B?
Well, look, Plan B is, you know, I guess that they, you know, they want people just to use cash, and you know, that's
we in the city don't use cash, you know.
Well, this is right. I mean, you know, everywhere is going to click and pay, right?
Sure.
And, they're basically, look, this is a question where race comes into it.
Yeah.
How is it, you know, that very white privileged bureaucrats in a government organisation are making these decisions without evidence, without any, you know, without any sort of demonstration?
It's not one size fits all, is it, Ravier?
Well, look, I, you know, sometimes people can take everything from you, even your grievances.
Yeah,
and, you know, and I feel like there may be a bit of that going on here where the actual people that are using CentrePay haven't been consulted and they're not complaining. In fact, we sent out a number of video testimonials of them saying, bring it back. This is actually impacting us badly. We have a petition with more than 1,000 signatures. I think it's closing in on 1,200, 1,400 at the moment. So, look,
it feels as though that ASIC are making a decision on urban and city life, not remote life.
I have to say it frankly, Trevor. This is a decision made by, you know, white bureaucrats who haven't consulted First Nations people.
Yep.
And look, there's a sniff of paternalism here.
Yep.
And look, we actually want Indigenous politicians to come in and speak out on this issue. We've reached out to Senator Melinda McCarthy, Marion Scrimgeour, and Jacinta Price, you know, asking for meetings because we actually think this is a big issue in the community.
Exactly.
Interestingly enough, this matter was first raised in Parliament by Senator Louise Pratt, I believe. Now, look, I don't know what credential she has to be making any commentary in regards to what's happening in, you know, what sort of credit that people in First Nations communities should be able to access or not. My message to the Indigenous senators is don't let these other people speak for your people.
It's well, exactly.
To come forward and speak up.
So MP Pratt doesn't sound Indigenous and doesn't sound as though she lives in community.
Well, I would say that that would be correct, but she may provide information otherwise. But sure. To my knowledge, that would be the case.
Yeah.
But you know, look, I think a lot of things that impact Indigenous people, Indigenous communities. I think some of that conversation has to be taken back and not be hijacked by others, because sometimes they come from a very paternalistic view, and it's something that they do perhaps to make them feel better,
exactly.
But don't necessarily think about the impacts on the people where who are actually using these services.
Well, it sounds like click and pay for whites only, no credit for blackfellas.
That's what I would agree with that wholeheartedly, Trevor. I think you've nailed it.
Yeah, look, my friend, thank you very much for your yarn. Please keep in touch, and we'll be watching this closely. Good yarning with you, Rajiv, and talk soon. You have a great day, my friend.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Bye bye. Deadly yarn there, Ravje Maraja, Urban Rampage Media Advisor and Community and Government Relations, ASIC's Centipay ban against First Nations people set for landmark racial discrimination legal change. Urban Rampage want to take ASIC to court and talk about this. Centipay to more than 20,000 Indigenous customers. Look, it's a nice way of, it's a credit for black people living in community, which they don't have access to. And we talk about necessities and buying uniforms and food and clothes and what have you. So if not this, what's plan B? And they said carry cash. Well, we in the city and urban life, we do not carry cash. It's all click and pay. So it's not one rule for one, different rule for another. Look, have you say, Jan Upstrong, add to the conversation in National Talk Black, 2012, Murray from the Curry, live at First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the country, thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Big shout out, NERS. Thank you.